we want to make this app for the entire family, but we don't want to put the HBO name on it, because when you think HBO, you think Game of Thrones and people having sex with dragons and the like.
And now what they're learning is there's nothing wrong with having sex with dragons.
If you know, you know. We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5n1.net.
The Great American Game Show, semi-quincentennial edition, will not be heard at this time because we realized semi-quincentennial is an 18-letter word and we're using Scrabble's board, which is 15 squares by 15 squares. In its place, we present the following U.S. production.
This is Gordon Pepper, and unlike Doug Morris, we only need 10 squares. Because we are at the halfway part of the year, and we're talking about the top 10 stories of 2026.
So far.
This has been a very eventful year. It's not often that I give Chico 11 stories, and it's not often where I have to sit down and go, there's too many stories. I need to get rid of some.
Think the same can be said for all of
them. And I added some stuff that I completely forgot about, but that was kind of cool too.
Yeah. Even for the last 6 months, it has been one story after another. And some of this stuff is continuation from stories that we covered last year.
Yes, very much so.
So aside from that, we've got 10 of the biggest stories that we think you should be following for the next 6 months. In addition, we also have the latest on Drag Race, the latest on Jeopardy, and another mergers and acquisitions story, but it goes the other way? Instead of somebody gobbling up somebody, somebody is spinning off somebody.
We will have all that and a lot more. Because from somewhere in America, this episode of WLTI is on. Let's go. Whee!
Happy 250th to you all. This is the July 2nd edition, number 539 of WLTI on 5n1. My name is Jason Block. It's so freaking hot. Chico, Gordon, can you believe the year's half over already?
Yeah, I can't believe we got halfway through the year and we are officially in hell because it is that hot.
Well, certain people are much more in hell than other people, as we will talk about as we go through the top 10. And Chico, you are the one that compiled it. Let's start with number 10.
All right. We are starting with number 10. The lion's share cashes in. Last year, 2025, was the beginning of a strategic partnership between The Price is Right and BetMGM, which birthed the latest pricing game, The Lion's Share. It took a bit to get to a record number, but when it got to a record number, it was a staggering record number. Vanessa McCaskill, a retired Army veteran from Virginia, made television history on the Mother's Day episode of The Price is Right, that would be last May, by winning $240,150, the largest single game prize in the show's 54-year daytime history. That beats Michael Stuber's $202,000 playing Plinko during Big Money Week in 2019.
And also the 204, what was it, $210,000 on a big money week on cliffhangers as well. Now, not necessarily a fan of the lion's share, but right now, as they end the season, pretty much, they think they've got it right because they're actually revealing prizes now and they're actually getting it. But that win was one of the most exciting story, exciting wins of the season that is just about to end.
I agree with Chico and Jason here, which is odd. But no, I think it got off to a little bit of a shaky start. There's no point that I hated the game, but there are things that they could have done to improve it, and they did, which is all good. I do like the fact that even though they had the money and the two 100,000s, she still went on. Like, she didn't quit. She went on. She played all five balls,
Yes, which takes a lot of
ballsy.
them.
That takes a lot of balls. But hey, she's Army veteran strong, if you remember.
Yes.
It
So
was one of
no,
the
you know what? That was definitely a fun episode. That was definitely a fun moment, not episode. It was a fun moment, and I would say, arguably, that was the best moment of The Price is Right this year.
Yep. And we talked about that in a previous episode. You can go back and listen to it.
We did. We did.
Number nine.
Number nine. Byron Allen buys his way into late night. Yes, with
Byron
cancellation.
Byron Allen buys the world. Byron Allen buys everything. Byron Allen buys your house. Probably not, but he could if he wanted to.
Well, you'd have to
he's a
do
billionaire,
a lot of,
isn't he?
He's a billionaire in the way one can be a billionaire by leveraging assets and itemizing deductions to come up with enough money to buy his way into anything he wants to do. He bypassed traditional network development by purchasing the 11:35 and 12:35 a.m. late night slots. At 11:35, he has Comics Unleashed, and at 12:35, he has Funny You Should Ask. Allen will pay CBS a fee for the airtime and sell the advertising himself, turning a massive financial drain into $15 million profit for the network.
Well, it's also very interesting. Let's go back to this. The reason why Byron Allen is that way is because in May of 2026, the Stephen Colbert, the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, ended under controversial circumstances. But the more interesting part of it is the fact that we have a game show in late night, and that is Bob Odenkirk's Funny You Should Ask, which is the show that keeps going and going and going and going. It's a fun little show. But the more interesting thing about this, Gordon, and you talk looking at it from a producer standpoint, where will game shows go in sort of the, not death, but the slow leaking of linear television?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I think Funny You Should Ask is now the blueprint of what to do. But this is a cyclical thing. What starts continues again, and what starts continues again. If you remember in 1984, there was this little show who couldn't get any major time slots, so they had to settle with a 2 a.m., sometimes 1 a.m., 2 a.m. time slot in New York City on ABC. And that was a little show, you may have heard of it, called Jeopardy! And I remember it because I taped every single episode because my parents wouldn't allow me to stay up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning.
You could stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning?
I'm sorry?
Not in 1984.
Oh, no. Well, you got to remember something. My dad owned a nightclub. There were times that Dad and I watched Jeopardy together at 1 o'clock in the morning. And then right after that, we switched to GSN for Three's a Crowd. Yes, the Chuck Barris version.
Well, if you remember in 84,
we
think that was actually live, but Jeopardy back in
84. Well, I could have been live, but my point of the matter is that there are plenty of things to watch at 1 o'clock in the morning. No, not in 1984, we didn't have Chuck Barris in Three's a Crowd, but later on, we absolutely spent time watching Three's a Crowd at 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember when exactly, but we did. And so, therefore, That's a very viable spot. There's all sorts of shows that have showed up in that time period. Love Games was one. Studs was one. Wipeout was one.
Strip Poker.
Well, I'd like to forget that one, but yes.
That show made Graham Elwood's career, I'll have you know.
But the point is that that was a fertile place for game shows to go, and it could be a fertile place again for game shows to go, especially if you are getting rid of, Street Smarts. Duh. That was another one late night. But the point of the matter is that is a fertile place for game shows, especially if you are trying to get rid of the politically charged content and then come up with something that's silly, not necessarily having to be politically charged. And there's enough things that are there. And if you remember from a syndication standpoint, you have Scrambled Up. You have, currently, I'm sure that their Millionaire had a 1 a.m. time slot back when it was there. We can keep going and going and going and going. I mean, syndication goes at any time slot, really.
Right. So
that's why you learn out of it, is Byron Allen is once again reestablishing the rules. And what he's doing is incredibly smart. He's not an idiot. This is how you make money.
This is indeed how you make money.
You find your niche audience, and that's who you cater to.
There you go.
Number eight.
The expansion of The Traitors. That is, The Traitors on Peacock, on the BBC, all around the world. 40 versions since its inception in 2021. And now this fall, it will go full throttle into the civilian space on a mainline network, NBC.
Been around the world and Traitors got my baby. Anyways. Yes, I went there. Anyways. But no joke, the power of The Traitors from a global standpoint is huge. As much as I am not a big fan of that format, a lot of people are, including Jason and Chico.
I am, but the thing is, I'm happy that The Traitors are doing a full
civilian, I believe, is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, regular player version, which, by the way, Millionaire isn't doing again. ABC. Okay? People are clamoring for a regular person version of Millionaire again. But they're not doing it. But anyway.
And they never will.
And they never will. You're right.
And the ratings dictate that. The last, I think the closest you're going to get to that would be the last time that you coupled up a celebrity and a civilian.
Right, but that's not going to happen.
That may be the closest that you're going to get.
Right, because believe it or not, the celebrity version does well. I'm not happy about it. Meh. Okay,
you should be happy about it, because if you don't get the ratings, you're not going to get Millionaire.
Right, and the fact that Jimmy Kimmel won the Emmy last year.
Absolutely, the one thing... I'm sorry, Jay. Keep going. And then I'll say
Kimmel won the Emmy, but back to The Traitors, okay? If you follow, like, British TV, okay? British Traitors, the people who are on there, it's amazing what's happening. And it's like, aren't there, like, certain castles that get rotated all the time and it's filming all the time because they have to get all the traitors in?
No, you know, I think they use the same castle.
No.
Oh, really?
I don't think so. Okay. But I will check it out. But again, Alan Cumming will win the Emmys. You know, over and over and over again. He's a great host. And yeah, it's great stuff.
Yep. The versions for the US and the UK are primarily filmed at Ardross Castle in the Scottish Highlands, about 30 miles north of Inverness. So, yeah.
Right.
It's just the one castle.
Sort of reminds me of the same studio that both Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal tape in, and then they just rotate.
Yep.
Same thing here.
Speaking of which, number seven. The exodus from LA continues. Special shout out to Cindy Seidelman for this entry, as she was the only one who has replied to our missive for top 10 stories of the year so far. But Los Angeles, not exactly the home of game shows it once was. You have Jersey City and Kearney, New Jersey, where we have the likes of Password, Masked Singer, 25 words or less.
Yep.
We have Metro Atlanta, where we have Press Your Luck, Family Feud, Celebrity Family Feud. And of course, we have Fiji, where we have Survivor and Love Island. We have Ireland, where we have The Floor. We have Australia, where we have Name That Tune. And we have Belgium, where we have The Quiz with Balls.
Now, this isn't
really new, because they've been doing this since the pandemic. So that doesn't surprise me. You've had Match Game and Pyramid in New York. So that part, the Shiny Game Show is moving, doesn't really surprise me. Here's what you should take notice to, is the fact that this is the first time that you've had a musical reality competition go to New Jersey. And not in Atlanta, and not anywhere else, for argument's sake.
That's right.
So New Jersey is now starting to be popular. And I'm also going to add, Netflix has now taken residency in New Jersey, and other places have too. New Jersey is turning into the Atlanta of the Northeast.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention, Match Game was taping in New York, now taping in Montreal.
That's correct.
See?
Well,
or we.
We, and, but I don't think American that's going to happen anymore.
Yeah, and American Gladiators.
They haven't renewed it for season two, have they?
Not yet.
Okay, but here's the interesting thing. Now, Gordon, don't you remember that also, didn't they just pass a tax break in L.A.? So they may, so the shows may come back there? May?
Come back, all is forgiven. Maybe, but I don't, again, if you're Broken Ground in Jersey and you're building up studios in Jersey, it's sort of like quoting my favorite movie of all time. Congratulations, you've locked the barn door after the horses have eaten the children. In other words, too little too late here. You may get a couple back. You're certainly not going to get the ones from Netflix back because, hey, they just created a studio. So shattering it just to go back to L.A., no.
Yeah.
I'm sure they get some back, but I don't think this is a trend. I think this is going to be a continuation.
Yeah, and you brought up tax breaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are also tax breaks everywhere else, so it's going to be
that's why Atlanta and Tyler Perry Studios gets a huge, you know, they film like 30 projects and, you know, a ton of projects over there. I'm not going to give a number, but they film a lot, right?
Indeed.
Well, I absolutely. Atlanta is now one of the bigger major stations down there in the Southeast. And New Jersey's got those same tax breaks. Well, maybe not the same ones. They've got them. Maybe they're better. I don't know.
Maybe they
are. But I know they have them. And obviously, New York has got the New York Board of Tourism that's gotten involved in that.
All right. Next one.
Mr. Beast's empire keeps growing. Yes, he started out with gaming content on YouTube. Then that parlayed into outrageous enterprises and games on YouTube. Now he's taking over the small screen with some help from Prime Video. And Beast Games Season 2 was as big as ever.
Beast Games Season 2, I'm going to say this, it should be nominated for an Emmy for Best Game Show. It should. When you streamlined it from 1,000 to 200 and made the show even better than it was appointment television, and yeah, I'm incredibly impressed.
Beast Games Season 2 is basically a testament to knowing what you're doing. Because if you remember Season 1, nobody knew what they were doing. Now season two comes, all of a sudden everybody knows what they're doing. And now they're doing the best job that they can.
It's a marked improvement over the first season. They did streamline. They also added the humanity and the human story. They did do some things I wasn't thrilled with some of those games, but I know it's drama and everybody likes it.
Yes.
So that's fine. And some of the games do test you from a psychological standpoint, and those games are the ones that people like watching. So I would definitely say market improvement.
You mean like the locked rooms bit, which was awesome?
Like somebody's got to be handcuffed into a room, correct?
Right, yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So do I think it should be nominated for a game, nominated for an Emmy? Maybe. If they did, it wouldn't surprise me. Do I think based on the marked improvement from one or the other, should it? Maybe. I will say this, they had the balls to make changes. Yes, we're being cyclical with that word. Mm-hmm. But they made changes, and they made it a much better product.
Well, that's the first five of the... We have the top five stories left to go. But in Act 2, we actually have, well, real news, which we will get to.
That's right. All the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including a champion falls on Jeopardy, a pair of queens rise on Drag Race, and... The pro of the week is absolutely zero surprise with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. I'm Chico Alexander. Stick and save 501. You're home, but we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different ways that Jason Block's going to interpret the word balls.
Let's see.
Because he's a wrestler.
Let's see. Matzo balls. Meatballs. Potato
balls.
Mac and cheese balls.
Soccer balls.
Balls to the wall.
Ball, yes, balls to the wall.
Lucille ball.
Having a ball.
I'm sorry? But you know
Lucille
what?
Ball.
Yeah, Lucille ball. LaMelo ball.
Well, you traded his ass.
Big baller.
Yeah, big baller, yes. Okay.
Okay. We'll be right
Previously
back.
On this episode of Big Baller.
That might be a break later. Who knows? We'll be right back.
There's nothing like celebrating a big play. But now, we're celebrating something bigger than sports.
Love, you're mine. Love, you're mine.
Love, you're mine.
You're training your mind as much as you're training your body.
For me, just stay grounded. Be with the people who make my mental health better and not worse.
I can and I will.
Grateful for the highs, grateful for the lows.
I am talented, healthy, and strong.
The best is yet to come.
So when you see us hit this, it's a reminder to
love.
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 Love. You're mine.
You're mine.
You're mine.
Vision News is presented by Everything is Lava. You heard of the floor is lava. Well, get ready because in this sweltering heat of summer, Everything is lava. The furniture, the props, the decor, the challenges, the walls, the windows, the snacks, the emotional support water bottle, the sky, everything is lava. It's the hottest game show going. Rutledge Wood hosts in a fireproof suit.
Well, you know, I'm hearing in Top Chef, the food of the day is lava cakes.
Lava cakes.
Not anymore, but yes. But we need time for, we need a cue.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, at Doug Morris Games, and at Tracks Productions. And do not forget to listen to Doug Morris every Sunday. He has Rock Tracks with Doug Morris on Rock 104, WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial, and all over the known
multiverse
on Rock104FM.com and the Odyssey app and the Rock 104 apps. Now. Let's talk about a champ.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
We have a super champ in the name of Adam Remsen. Okay? He has gone through, as of Tuesday, 13 games. Okay? But he is playing Richard Nguyen, a research attorney from Placentia, California, and Mandy Moreno, a social psychologist from my hometown of Brooklyn. But at the end of Double Jeopardy, it's not a runaway game. Adam has 28, Richard 20,800, Richard has 14,400. Mandy can still get in there if things go her way with 5,000 in this clue for 20th century novels.
Give me your spoiler hint. No, she can't.
Nope. David Ben-Gurion called this 1958 book as a piece of propaganda the greatest thing ever written about Israel. I got this one. Okay.
I thought it was Night by Elie Wiesel. I was wrong.
No, yes, you were, because it is Exodus by Leon Uris. And the only person who get it right was Richard, because Adam thought it was Fiddler on the Roof. I don't think Fiddler on the Roof was a book.
I don't think so either. I think it started off as a stage play.
It was not.
Okay.
Yes.
So Adam Remsen goes
there. Believe it or not, I actually had that one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did too. So Adam leaves with...
Adam leaves with well over 300,000, and he
will... Throughout 308,415, if I'm not mistaken.
And he will return for the Tournament of Champions. Meanwhile, Richard is on his third game when he meets Caleb Groen, a law and policy student originally from Thousand Oaks, and Andy Briseño, a novelist and associate professor from Natchitoches, Louisiana.
By the way, there's a little controversy for me.
Oh, okay? Really?
Yeah, because there, and I'm going to say this on the second clue of the game. Okay.
Okay.
I've
got it right here. It was U.S. bodies of water for 800, and the clue is at Pittsburgh. These two rivers join to form the Ohio River. I had the Allegheny and the Monongahela.
Right, but he said the Monongahela, and they took it. That's bad judging to me.
Well, I don't know if it's bad judging or not on that, because they're usually a little bit lenient in terms of pronunciation if you get the words right. I mean, you knew what he was trying to say.
I did know what he was trying to say, yes.
Yeah, and remember, if it weren't for something...
Depending on dialect, you know, that could be the way that it was pronounced in one certain thing or time. I actually didn't have an issue with it.
There you go. And the thing of it is, Ken Jennings, I believe, was dinged similarly on his first game way back when. So, you know, I don't think there's much in the way of...
This was actually one of the better games of the year. Because at the end of Double Jeopardy, we had Caleb at 23-8, Richard at 17-2, and Andy with 12-2. Great scores all around. Who will win with this clue in Northern Europe? This country is said to have more islands than any other in the world. There are 30,000 just in the archipelago named for its capital.
I had this too.
I knew it was one of the Slavic countries.
No, okay. It's not one of the Slavic. It's one of the
the Scandinavian countries, excuse me.
Yes, it is Sweden.
Right. Yes.
Andy was going for Denmark, but said, what is Copenhagen? That was wrong. Richard went with Norway. That was wrong. And Caleb went with Denmark, which is also wrong, but he bets right to win 13,199. And Richard leaves with three games under his belt and a total of $39,801. I have a feeling we're going to see Richard again.
Don't know about that, rabbit. Second chance tournament.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Second chance. We will see. But we've got, and tomorrow, what is it? Well, we got 3 weeks to go, right? 230 episodes?
Yeah, three weeks to go until the end of the season for Jeopardy.
Yep. But we are closer to the end of the season of this show.
Yeah! Woo! She's already the head of her.
This week, Gordon, I think this was one of the most inspired challenges ever, really. I really do. You know?
You tell.
After last week's episode, the bottom queens gave their points. Jasmine gave it to Joey J. Joey J gave it to Jasmine Kennedy. Sam Starr gave it to Sugar Cane. And Sugar Cane gave it to Sam Starr. Okay. So what happens is that we had the main challenge. The queens performed lip syncs to interviews from the RuPaul show, while the queens portrayed RuPaul and the celebrity in question.
Oh boy.
Hershey was Patti LaBelle. Jasmine was Tammy Faye Mesner. Joey J was Bea Arthur. Kennedy Davenport was Eartha Kitt. Sam Starr was Anna Nicole Smith. Sugar Cane was Cher. Did you like this or not, Gordon?
Well, this it wasn't as original or inspired as they thought it was. It really took a page out of season 5, episode 2, when it was sort of the same thing that they had a lip sync over certain shenanigans that happened during Untuck in an earlier season. Or in earlier seasons, I should say. So, I'm not sure how inspiring it was, but I thought it was cute.
Okay. On the runway, it was David Bowie, Icon. And then we have Kennedy Davenport and Sam Starr, the top two queens of the week. Lip sync was Breaking Dishes by Rihanna. Kennedy Davenport won the prize and I believe the extra point.
Yes. Okay. And after the lip sync, the bottom queens, all four of them, awarded their final MBQ points on the main stage, with Jasmine Kennedy giving her point to Hershey LaCourte-Jeté, and everybody else giving their points to Jasmine Kennedy, which creates a bit of a situation, because Jasmine Kennedy and Sam Starr are tied in points. So who will join Kennedy Davenport?
And then, of course, Kennedy Davenport is already in.
Yes.
Okay.
So who will join Kennedy Davenport in the semifinals? The answer, both of them.
Right. But then we have the three queens that RuPaul and Michelle Visage were chosen to come back. And they are Morgan McMichaels from Bracket 1, Selena Estitis from Bracket 2, and Joey J from Bracket 3. And then there's the wild card lottery result. I don't know what that is. I'm just guessing.
Okay, so remember, RuPaul and Michelle chose one eliminated queen from each bracket who they think deserves another shot for a return to the competition through a wild card lottery. That result is next week. So All three of them are not coming back. One of them will be.
Okay. Yes, and we will find out.
Yeah, when we do the autopsy on this season, I will point this out as to a little bit of, shall we say, hypocrisy, because the first group, there was a tie, and RuPaul broke it, and that's one of the reasons why I think Morgan McMichaels got picked instead of the third one, where RuPaul invites them both.
Yeah.
I understand it's his thing, but consistency would be nice.
You think?
Yeah. I think all in all, this episode was a miss for me because, first of all, the RuPaul show challenge just came across as a little indulgent. But I understand it's RuPaul's show and RuPaul can do what RuPaul wants, but unless you are of a certain age, are you really going to remember the RuPaul show?
Well, but it's whether or not you remember it or don't remember it is sort of academic. It doesn't really matter. I did like what they were trying to do. I mean, this is All Stars. You're going to be indulgent. I mean, clearly you're going to be indulgent. So don't have an issue with that.
Okay.
I really don't. I thought it was all right, dog. I get what they were doing. I didn't hate it by any stretch of the imagination, but I did hate the ending. Let's bring everybody along. Not you. So, eh.
Eh.
All right. Eh. But can we get the actual news, the breaking news symbol?
That thing right there. Okay.
What you got, Chico?
All right. So, you know, the story, stories as far as mergers and acquisitions have been one company gobbling up another company. This time we have sort of a Uno reverse card here, as Comcast will spin off NBC Universal, creating two focused industry leaders, one in tech brands and one in broadcast. Comcast will function as the technological company, serving residential and business customers through its broadband, wireless, and entertainment platforms, while NBC Universal will continue acting in the entertainment and broadcast fields, which include the theme parks, Universal Film and Television Studios, NBC, Telemundo, Peacock, and Bravo. It would also include Sky and all of the IP therein. Because remember, Comcast owned Sky, which purchased ITV earlier last week. So now NBC Universal owns Sky and ITV.
Yeah. I mean, to me, this is all part of the post-pandemic bleed out of everything. Am I wrong, Gordon, on that, or no?
I don't think you're wrong. I think there's other things that are in play, but that's certainly a factor.
Okay, so what do you got?
Well, and this is going to span a whole lot of... This is going to make a whole lot of things all sorts of saucy. I know we didn't do a BS Big Show, but NFL rights are in play. A whole lot of sports rights are in play. The NBA, the Olympics, Notre Dame football, they're all in play now. And that's really the driver of streaming traffic, if you think about it, is live events and sports. Not so much game shows, but live events and sports. And that's where you're going to find your money at. Right?
Yeah. I'm with you. Yep. But we need the Concords at least for a little bit.
It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh.
It's I have the Moose Boosh, actually.
Okay. Yes.
Big Brother 28 has revealed its house this week. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the twist. Okay? It's called Time Trip. Okay? The new theme will turn, according to Deadline, time into the ultimate twist as house guests enter a world where rooms, relics, and competitions transport them across moment and time. Design of the room is inspired by decades like the 80s and Y2K and will feature new powers and challenges that will disrupt strategies and alliances. 90-minute premiere on a week from today, July 9th, and we also have Jerry O'Connell in the Media Pro report later. Okay?
Yes. For a good reason.
Yes, for a good reason. And the house tour looks amazing, and there are rumors that there's going to be a Survivor player, a Amazing Race player. Have you heard those rumors?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard any of the rumors, but I'm going to be following all of the Big Brother fan channels on social media. And I want to thank Taylor Hale for giving me the names, that is, the Joker's updates. And actually, the Joker's updates pretty much is your catch-all there.
And also Big Brother Daily as well on social media. Very good stuff.
Indeed.
But you have something, and I actually have some history on it, and you do too.
Yes, I do. We have more information on Netflix's The Golden Ticket, which will premiere on September 23rd. 12 lucky golden ticket winners, each with a partner of their choosing, will step through the gates of Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory into a world of pure imagination, delicious mischief, and unexpected challenges. Once inside, contestants must navigate a series of Wonka's games, tests, and temptations designed to challenge them physically, mentally, and morally. In this high-stakes social experiment, players will journey through the factory's wondrous and unpredictable landscape, adapting, strategizing, and withstanding the unknown, while proving they have the instincts, resilience, and character to thrive in chaos. In the end, only one contestant will have what it takes to earn Wonka's life-changing prize. Now, this is the part that everybody's hung up on. Wonka's The Golden Ticket will be hosted by the recreated voice of Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka with the consent of Mr. Wilder's estate.
Now, Gordon, if you remember correctly, there was a movie that came out earlier this year, okay, with Val Kilmer as a full AI actor, okay? That was a movie called As Deep as the Grave. I'm actually looking this up right now. Okay? And he was cast in 2020, but he was too ill, and the family approved the finishing of the performance. I believe, Gordon, isn't Paul Walker going to be recreated in AI for the Fast 11 finale? Am I correct on that, or am I not? Have you heard about this?
I haven't heard about it. I know that that they used footage of them for previous Fast and Furious movies.
Right.
But I don't think that's the same thing.
Right. Now, what do you think of this?
I understand why. I think it's a little bit of a slippery slope. I also have this strange little feeling that a bunch of us are going to be saying, Mr. Beast did a version of this, and we liked it better.
Yes.
Because Mr. Beast did do a version of this.
Right, for the Feastables candy. Yes.
Correct.
Yes, and I will tell you when that is, when that video came out. I've researched Mr. Beast Candy Factory. That was 4 years ago. He did this. So, pretty cool. Yes. So, it's been done before. But and by the way, if you remember, this is not the first time footage has been used. Remember, we go far back as 1991 in a Elton John Diet Coke commercial with footage of Humphrey Bogart and others, James Cagney, mixed with new celebrities. So this is not new. So, Gordon, you...
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Should, right. But I should read the date book because it's pretty big, actually. Believe it or not. We have... Saturday is, of course, the 250th birthday of America and the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. I know.
I know that he won't be there, but Kobayashi in spirit.
Yeah.
Sunday is the... Yes. Yes, Sunday is the season finale of Love is Blind Argentina. Monday is Rhythm and Flow Italy, season finale on Netflix. Also Barbecue Brawl on Food Network. Tuesday is the Password with Wayne Brady. I believe they shot that while he was doing Moulin Rouge, I'm guessing.
I believe you are correct.
Thursday is the second summer really begins with the season premieres of Big Brother, Celebrity Family Feud, Press Your Luck, and the Project Runway.
And we're going to cover all of those next week.
Let's talk about that app, though. And ooh, baby. Wow.
Reigns!
Yeah, you were expecting to hear the Starcade theme, but I had to play the Brains because Portal 1 is in the throes of what they're calling a new chapter. From the co-founder, this letter to head up a newsletter. From Wednesday, July 1st, cash prizes will no longer be part of Portal 1. It's a big change, and not a decision we have taken lightly. For us, saying goodbye to prizes is all about bringing you the true magic of hybrid games that we believe in. We got big plans for the time ahead, and we hope you'll be part of it. That is quite the way of saying we've run out of VC money.
We run out of VC money. We're going to pray that we don't go the way of Joyride and every other group that thinks that they can get along and entice people without money. In other words, we love you, bye-bye.
Yep.
Here's the bugle that we will give you right before we play taps with it. Yeah, that.
By the way, Quiztopia still running on the app at 9 o'clock every night, but the prize is not money, it's donuts, which is the in-app currency that you can use to buy, I don't know, something.
It's dumb. It's so dumb. You know, if I didn't think about it, this is a top 10 story for the end of the year. Because Portal, we made bank on that.
I did the math. In the 2 years I've been on Portal 1, I've made over $5,000. The question I have now is, where did it all go?
Ass.
Adulting.
Okay. Okay. And here we go again. This is just so dumb.
Oh, jeez.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Okay. All right. So, Love Island is the gift that keeps on giving in the worst possible way. The UK contestant Gabrielle Garland has been removed from the show after a reported link to a 2019 stabbing. One of the seasons, season 13's Casa Amor boys has now left the villa and will not be returning, according to a spokesperson for ITV. The 24-year-old was reportedly removed following production becoming aware of him being named in court documents linked to a 2019 stabbing. According to The Sun, Garland's name is referenced in documents connected to a New Year's Eve 2019 stabbing in southeast London, in which Vitor Mazur was found guilty of 2 counts of grievous bodily harm with intent. Garland had an altercation with the stabbing victims, according to both outlets, and he was, both outlets, The Sun and The Guardian, he was not convicted of any offense. Said it before and I'll say it again.
Where is the background people?
You would think that they would be on top of all of this, given everything that's happened to Love Island contestants in the US and the UK last year. And this follows, by the way, the exit of Love Island UK bombshell George Knight for quote unquote private reasons. What the private reasons are alleged, and we will not go into it here. But it also follows. Yeah, but it also follows here in the U.S., Vasana Montgomery and Alana Kayser both removed from the cast for uttering the you-know-what word.
Yep, that one.
You know, background checks are not hard. Open your wallet.
They're not.
Find the best form to do it and do it.
But we've got even more haterade, and I have this one, and this one's fun. Haterade! So, Laura Roach, who is a celebrity stylist, was on GMA with on Project Runway, because it's on Freeform. Disney company. He criticized Plain for allegedly presenting a reused Drag Race runway look to the judges. Quote, "I wish I was on another show because I would make you lip sync for your life," Roach said in a clip, with Plain replying, "Listen, I would kill that lip sync." Banks turned to Roach to flash a smile as Roach replied, "I wish you killed the look, but you didn't." Okay. Roach said, quote, "Plain actually brought a look he wore then. I thought that he was cheating a little bit because we asked designers to bring their best look. To wear something that you've already worn in another show, I thought it was a little bit of a cop-out. And then it also wasn't good." And then Plain Jane replied, "Love Laura Roach," referencing on X, referencing an often meme mount from Bob the Drag Queen's interview with drag star Thorgy Thor on the pit stop, in which Thorgy attempted to recover from a prior statement expressing distaste for pop star Pink by exaggerately proclaiming love Pink. You know who I'm signing with on this? Laura Roach.
I agree, because here's the thing. Project Runway is a test of your creative skills. And part of your creative skills is learning to extemporaneously come up with something in the moment. And to fall back on something that you've done on another show and think that nobody will notice? That is not just an insult on you as a contestant, but an insult on the contest writ large. So yeah, Plain Jane more than deserved getting reamed by Law Roach.
On that one, yeah. So where are we sending Plain Jane, Laura Roach, and Gabriel Garland, and all the Love Island people?
Oh God, we're doing the Around the World showcase this week.
And play it.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50 per person. That's £200 off for a family of four.
All right, we're going to start in France, where they are bringing back Money Drop with host Olivier Mini. It will air new episodes daily, but no release date as of yet. Then we go to Korea, where Running Man, not that one, but another thing called Running Man, is eyeing a run in the U.S. The show is basically a combination of The Traitors and Taskmaster, a high-concept celebrity urban chase show that has evolved into a character-driven competition series blending celebrity guests, large-scale missions, strategic mind games, and serialized comic rivalries. Next, we go to the UK, where we have a couple of stories here. First off, Jeremy Clarkson, after being granted a clean bill of health, will return in new episodes of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Millionaire Hot Seat.
Good for him.
Yep. And finally, Quizzy Mondays are returning to BBC Two on July 13th with a lineup of Mastermind at 7:30. Only Connect at 8.
I cannot wait for that. I cannot wait for that.
University Challenge at 8:30.
And put it to you this way, if you know where to get it, you know where to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it.
All right.
But I don't think there's really any other Media Pro except one. Sweet.
Well, there is, but we will get there.
I got pros in different area codes. Pros in different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, we said goodbye to Victor Willis, lead singer of The Village People, Paul Flack, the brother of Carolyn Flack, Penelope Keith, an actress of To the Manor Born, and Amy Schneider's mother, Betty Jo Schneider. May they all rest in peace. Elsewhere, Ryan Seacrest spent National Foodie Day soft launching a new relationships. I cooked ribs for the first time, but whatever, bro, you do you. Megan Thee Stallion arrives on Love Island. Utica missed the cut for Drag Race All-Stars because of all things, Project Runway. The Mike Golics, that's senior and junior, are returning to ESPN Radio. Taylor Frankie Paul has the cops called on her again, goes to rehab, files for a restraining order, has her ex file for a restraining order, and has a win in court, all in the same week. Kristen Kish compares Top Chef to The Traitors. Joe Hunter was cast on a Tyler Perry show as a paramedic thanks to the Tooth Fairy. Becca Scott from Game Changer welcomes her own Game Changer, a new baby. LeBron James is leaving his wall in LA, but he's going to test the free agent market.
He's coming to the Knicks.
Golden State, dude, get it right. Zach Steele George just welcomed a little gladiator of his own. Congratulations. Tierra T.T. Davis allegedly threatened to shoot a classmate over a boy a long time ago. Maxim Shmurkovsky and Pan America Troid are moving from L.A. to Florida. Video has surfaced of Kitty Carlisle and Burt Convy delivering their bicentennial minutes from 50 years ago. And, of course, Jerry O'Connell will join Big Brother Unlocked as a panelist alongside Taylor Hall and Derek Levasseur. But
one of these days, we should do a Who's Your Daddy about... or at least who we think should replace Julie Chen Moosmez whenever she goes.
I think Jerry O'Connell is your once and future leader in the clubhouse, but that's just me.
That's Taylor Hale. But you're right. There is only one media pro this week.
There is only one.
Extra! Extra! Somebody's getting married!
Somebody's getting married? Hey, somebody's getting married!
Whoa! Somebody's getting married!
Somebody's getting married!
Somebody's getting married!
Somebody's getting married!
Okay, that's enough of that. I love the song, but if we play any more, well, I'm gonna have to put Jason to work.
Yes, but the person, of course, we it's the talk of the world right now, outside of the World Cup right now.
Yeah, 5:00, Madison Square Garden, tomorrow. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are finally making it official.
Yay. But what's really interesting, if you notice, that they also dropped about $30 million to charity also as well. I have the list.
Okay. And, please, Gordon, with the list.
There's some very cool charities here. The national ones are Feeding America, ASPCA, the Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, which is an amazing, amazing thing. You know about that. They send books to kids from 0 to 5. Great stuff. Grammy in the Schools. And here in New York, Gordon, City Harvest, Food Bank for New York, New York Cares, Education Through Music, Answer the Call, Musical Mentors, the After School All-Stars, MSK Kids, the Hassenfeld Children's Hospital in NYU Langone, the Rhode Island Community Food Bank in Kansas City and Midwest. We have the Harvesters, the Community Food Network, Children's Mercy Hospital, the After School All-Stars, and the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank, the Store in Nashville, and the Helping Harvest Reading, Pennsylvania. So to Travis and the 1,000 guests that are there, including Sabrina, Jay-Z, and a bunch of others, Naches and Mazel Tov, may you have a wonderful life together.
And may you produce incredibly athletic, incredibly talented babies.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would please.
I am shutting down right here. And 5 down, 5 more to go. Our top 5 stories of 2026 so far, right after this. Here on WLTI, this is 5 and 1.
WLTI has been brought to you by, from the creators of Two Girls and One World Cup. Yes, I went there, if you remember from last time.
Yes.
Battle of the 32 countries. Whee! Soccer players are showing off their balls. Literally and figuratively. Who's got the grapefruits to become the big baller? Because previously on Big Baller, in this case, Portugal just used their power veto to send Croatia packing. That is Big Baller World Cup 2026. Jason, please don't throw me off the air. Thank you.
So, as we continue to swelter, but we have more and more stories to cover. These were the top 5 stories of 2026 in the top 10. Number 5.
Taylor Frankie Paul.
Yeah. March of 2026, a video came out, I believe courtesy of TMZ, showing her and her partner engaging in what could be just considered domestic violence. ABC said, we're not having you with your bachelorette season. It's done. We're done. We're gone. It's not going to happen. But there is rumors that it may run in July. I don't know. But Gordon, is this the end of the Bachelor / Bachelorette franchise with this?
I don't think it's the end. I do think it's going to take a little bit of a hibernation. You know, if I was going to bury it and burn it, that would be right about now, right up against the World Cup.
What I would, I would do like a week-long marathon at like 3 a.m. or something like that, contractually obligated. Just put it, you know what I would do? I would just put it on Hulu. ABC is Disney. Just put it, wouldn't you put it on, wouldn't that be smarter? Put it on Hulu?
I think so. I mean, you put it on Hulu, it's on streaming. People who really want to watch it will be able to watch it. People who don't, won't. And world peace will not have resulted in either case. So, yeah. And the thing of it is, there is still a whole lot of drama surrounding Taylor Frankie Paul, and this is the price you pay for trying to play corporate with two of your franchises.
Yeah, I mean, but again, I really think this is the jump the shark moment for the Bachelorette franchise. I really do. I think it's done, and I think it's finished. And if it comes back, I'm sad. So, anyway, story number four.
Story number four. Survivor 50 in the hands of the fans and a couple of celebrity super fans as well. It started out as...
In the hands of the corporate.
In the hands of the corporate, yeah. It started out as a gigantic dumpster fire. It started out as a gigantic dumpster fire. And Jeff was like, pre-gaming? What's that? We don't do pre-gaming on this show. Everything's on the up and up. Then the season finally wraps up and says, you know what? Yeah, they totally do pre-gaming.
Still awaiting my sushi dinner from Jay, by the way.
That may come sooner rather than later. But here's the thing. Survivor 50... Well, with all the marketing and also the brilliant marketing they had, you remember the Idol Search contest, which was really great. I mean, the marketing was great. However, the execution was not very good. The only highlight was, and here's another tie-in, Mr. Beast. The Mr. Beast episode was the highlight of the show this year. Okay. And Aubrey Bracco winning it after five tries?
Good for her.
But we will see what Survivor 51 does, and hopefully they can recapture the moment. Was Survivor 50 bad? No. Was Survivor 50 good? Maybe. But I think it's going to be remembered for its, you know, I don't think we're going to get newer, we're going to get returning players for a hot second, at least till maybe 55.
I think Survivor 50 is going to be known more for the shenanigans around the gameplay than the actual gameplay, which is unfortunate because it was not a terrible season at all.
It wasn't terrible, but you know, we will see, and we'll see what 51 does in the fall. Now we are heading into our top three.
Top three story begins with number three. The studios and the guilds play Let's Make a Deal.
This was a no-brainer. We called this after the absolutely almost destructive, what was it, almost 120-day writer strike of 2023, I believe it was. The deal, the guild and the WGA and all the guilds settled with the studios very quickly. Four, at least with SAG-AFTRA, it was 4 years with AI and healthcare protections, and it was ratified quite easily because, Gordon, as we talked about earlier this year, they were not going to do that again.
I couldn't afford to do it again. Everybody realized all the damage that was there. And they sort of knew what the stakes were going to be, especially with the AI and all the other topics that maybe a couple of years ago they didn't really understand. They understand it now.
They understand it, yes.
Yep.
I mean, it's... But again, which puts safety in you know in us, but we won't get more game shows in prime time like some of the strike programming. Anyway,
oh, our runner-up
story, our runner-up story of 2026 so far is
number two, Derek Jeter. Number two, Jeopardy: The Era of the Super Champs. Yes, just when you think that everybody's had a mastery of the game, this is the season where we have champ after champ after champ after champ. Yes, it began on March 6th with a man by the name of James Dennison, who went 5 for 5 until he met Luke Henson. And Luke Henson won that game until he met a guy by the name of Jamie Dang, who rattles off 32 in a row. Then, a week or two later, we have Tristan Williams.
It was 31, but who's counting?
Then, a week and a half later, we meet Tristan Williams, who goes for 10 and is usurped by Chris D'Angelo, who goes for 8. Who is usurped by Peter McFerrin, who goes for 6. And then we already talked about Adam Remsen earlier on this episode. All in all, the season belongs, and if you count all the people from last season as well, Will Riley, Harrison Whitaker, Allegra Cooney, Aaron Levine, Tom Devlin, TJ Fisher, Stephen Olsen, Paolo Pasco, season belongs to Super Champs. Season belongs to Super Champs.
Oh, well, you also forgot there's also a sort of a 2A story to this.
Uh-huh.
Which is the streamlined, much better season 2 of Pop Culture Jeopardy and the amazing comeback of the AMC B-listers over one baddie after another. One of the best comebacks in the history of any Jeopardy, Gordon, including regular Jeopardy itself. And I may have beaten Buzzy Cohen's comeback from his Tournament of Champions win.
Wow.
That's saying a lot right there.
Do you agree with that? I'm just saying, there's possible, you know?
That's not sure I agree with it as much because of what happened, but I do think it's impressive.
All right, before we get to our top story of 2026 so far, we have some honorable mentions. Rhoda McBatong's comeback on Top Chef Carolinas. She went to Last Chance Kitchen, got back to the competition, and won the whole thing. Pluto acquires a bunch of material for its Fast Channel and the rise of the game show vault on YouTube. Password celebrates the Knicks.
Oh?
One day after their championship, one of the Knicks came to play Password with Kiki and Jimmy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably going to be on later next year. Later this year.
No, the episode already aired. They preempted an Ice-T episode for that episode.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And GSN reboots America Says. Only appropriate given this weekend. But the number one story of 2026 so far. The Paramount Warner Brothers Discovery deal. which
sort of, kind of, still happening. It's not done yet. This is the story that will never end. No, this could very well be
story of
it is a story that never ends. It just goes on and on and on,
my friends.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So where are we on this? So they decided they were going to buy Warner Brothers, outbid Netflix for Warner Brothers. Paramount has offered itself to the UK and EU. They want commissions.
Yeah, that happened. That happened yesterday, actually.
Yep, they are going to give up their rights to the Universal International Pictures Library, or the United International Pictures Library, hoping to gain enough favor from the European Commission. And will it be enough? Who knows? UK will decide to refer the merger to phase two. It is now in phase one investigations. That will happen in August, and the move comes after the CMA launched a public comment period for interested parties to express their views on the impact the merger could have on competition in the UK. That's not even to say what attorneys general here in the US did, trying to thwart the merger by suing the companies.
We don't know if it's happening. We don't know.
It's like, at the end of the day, Paramount's going to have to wonder if the juice is worth the squeeze. And believe you me, they are getting squeezed.
These are the stories that we think are the top 10 stories of 2026. If you have anything, go to our social media. Go to WLTI at GameTrueNewsNet.com. Go to Facebook, Twitter. I'm sorry, X. I keep calling it Twitter.
No, it's Instagram. Okay. You can keep calling it Twitter. I'm not going to judge you.
And we'd like to hear what you think are the stories of 2026 so far. And we're going to finish it off with a speed round right after this. This is 5-1. We're still hot. Oh, man. It's hot.
I need some water, guys. Stay hydrated. We'll be right back. WLTI is presented by American Idol, Semiquincentennial Edition. That's right, 250
singers. I'm not giving away my shot. I'm not giving away my shot. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry.
Yeah, but enough about what you do in your off hours, Jason Block. Now, 250 singers will vie for the votes of everyone who has ever lived through the last 250 years of American history. Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson, Sally Ride, Martin Luther King,
Nixon in China. By the way, fantastic musical, Nixon in China. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, now you know.
That is American Idol Semi-Quincentennial Edition.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of American Idols, it's time for a speed round. Now, Caleb Groen beat Richard Wynn. How long does he last?
Well, giant killers usually turn into wheel of rotating celebrities.
Right, and right now at the moment, Richard Wynn was just beaten tonight. So we're in Wheel of Champions mode at the moment.
Mm-hmm. RuPaul's Drag Race. We have the names of the three people vying for the wild card lottery. Who is going to take it?
Oh, Hold on, because I saw it and I knew who was going to be.
Remember, it's Morgan McMichael, Selena Estetis, and
Joey
Jane.
Morgan McMichael.
Selena Estetis.
I think it should be Morgan McMichael. I think it's going to be, just to be different, Jay.
Joey Jay.
Not as in Jason Block, but Joey Jay.
All right.
Just because.
Okay, I'm just going to ask a funny question. How many hot dogs, because the weather's going to be warmer, how many hot dogs does Joey Chestnut beat the others by? I know it doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. Joey Chestnut beats his competition by 10 or 12.
Joey Chestnut will eat 69 hot dogs.
Nice. Well,
you know, hold on. I'm going to actually look at his record. Joey Chestnut.
If I'm not mistaken, his record's 77.
His all-time record was 76. Okay.
Yep. And you know what? We gotta talk about the ladies here. So let's talk about the ladies. Does Mickey Sudo defend the female mustard belt?
Of course she does.
There you go.
Yeah, but again, watch that on ESPN. It is the most bizarre thing ever, but it's awesome.
It is bizarre. It is incredible. I can't wait
AGT
for it.
AGT is back next week for more auditions. Are we going to see $1 million act?
We're going to see somebody that people are going to be talking about. So people are going to rally around the finalists for it. I don't think it's going to be the $1 million act. I think we already saw it in the beginning with the audition that NBC dropped before the season even began. But more on that later.
Okay.
All right. Do we have any mail?
Wait.
That would be a no, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTI@GameshowNewsNet.com. Of course, we are on all social media at Game Show NewsNet. And of course, I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block with the number 2 at the end.
I am GSNN Haterade.
And the network is at 5N1Net. That is 5N1.net. No, sorry. The number 5, ANDONENET. And of course, we talk about everything and anything going on network-wide. For example, what's going on in the NAWC?
The NAWC, we are off this week due to the holiday, but we will be back next week reviewing all the pay-per-views that happened over the end of June weekend as we head toward SummerSlam and Forbidden Door in AEW. And on our last show, we covered our top 10 stories of 2026 so far, at least our top stories. And one of them, of course, is Mr. Nixhausen. I mean, Danhausen. The rise of him in almost 120 days. Pretty insane. BS Big Show will be coming back eventually. I think we really do have to start in the next week or two because mini camps are going to open really soon. Do you know what? We're a month away from preseason football. We are a month away.
Yes, we are. Just remember, Hall of Fame game. That kicks off preseason. Of course, the Hall of Fame game will feature the Carolina Panthers playing against the Arizona Cardinals from Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton. So somebody wake up Ian. We need his insight. What? What? It has to do with Ohio, okay?
Yes.
On the panel, we have 7 of the 16 spots that are taken to go to Battle Bowl. 9 more coming, not this weekend, but next weekend.
All right. And that's, of course, ubatoday.info for that. Over on It Was a Thing on TV.com, we dropped a new episode of the Squared Circle Time Machine. WWE Monday Night Raw from the 4th of July of 2005. The fallout from Vengeance 05. And Monday Night Raw featuring a big tag match with the Hulkster and HBK versus Kurt Angle and Carlito. We also have Diva Search Crap, Rene Dupree with the mustache, Bubbly Maria, and Todd Grisham outside of Eric Bischoff's office. That is It Was a Thing on TV.com. And of course, a new episode will drop after midnight. We also have, from last week, the David Letterman Show Revisited, celebrating the 46th anniversary of the show, with that NBC canceled three game shows to slot. And then when it's over, they just paid David Letterman to do nothing until late night was
ready. Hey.
Oh boy.
I wonder what happened with David Letterman.
I have no idea.
He's actually got a successful interview show on Netflix. What is it called? My Guest Needs No Introduction?
My Next Guest Needs No Introduction.
So, Chico, what do we got for next week?
Next week, Big Brother, Press Your Luck, Project Runway, Drag Race, Jeopardy, plus a season in review. We have not done Family Feud. Have we done Family Feud?
I don't know if we did or didn't. You have to check.
Okay, well, while I check, we will do something in review next week right here on The World's Strongest. But until then, my friend, for Gordon Pepper and Jason Block and everybody at 501, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night.